Hesitations has been trying to get guidance and leadership of how to deal with this chapter going forwards. There's so much going on in the book of Acts, but I really feel like the Lord would have for us just to get through Acts chapter 2 with two more messages. First part tonight, second part, Lord willing, next Wednesday. But we understand the book of Acts is a transitional book. We first started working through this, we did a new beginning. And now there are some people that are in what would be considered hyper-dispensationalists that believe that there's different parts of your Bible that no longer matter. And that is just the farthest thing from the truth. Every word in this Bible is profitable, it's inspired of God, it's God-willed, and it may not all be written to you, but every single word is written for you. In Acts chapter 1, we pick up, Jesus is still on earth here. He's not ascended yet. He's already been crucified, but he's still with his people. He's teaching them. He's walking with them. He's talking with them, appearing to them. Said up to 500 brethren saw him after he had been arose and before he ascended. And then we find he ascends into heaven, and they stand up gazing, and two men standing in white apparel come and say, "Why stand ye gazing?" Know that this same Jesus, he's going to come back the same way that he left. And I'm glad that I'm looking for Jesus to come back, this same Jesus. He's not changed. He's going to come back the same way that he went into heaven. He told me, he said, "It's needful for you that I go." There was a couple reasons it was needful for him to go. One, he was a propitiation, had paid, and now he's our advocate with the Father. And he said when he left, he'd send us a comforter. The comforter would come. We have the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher. He's a comforter. He's a healer. There's so much he can do in our lives. And we understand that. And here in chapter 2, at the beginning of the chapter, the Holy Spirit comes on the scene and indwells in God's people. And they are all filled with the Spirit. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." And don't get uncomfortable when we talk about the Holy Ghost, because he's real. And I'm glad it's not a it, it's a him. And he's living inside of me tonight. I was talking with Brother Luther the other day, and he made mention, he said, "I feel like I've talked to myself a whole lot." He said, "There's some people that believe that's wrong to talk to yourself." He said, "But I got somebody pretty big living inside of me, so I got to talk to him every now and again." And I love that, and I feel that way. We find here then they start speaking with the tongue, but we know it's not the tongue that people perverted it to be today. It's the tongue that everybody could hear them in their own language. It's a gospel, the way for the Lord to get the gospel out. We know it was the day of Pentecost. There were many people here, and it was the perfect timing that God had for them to do this. And I want to be clear with a few things tonight. God cares about where you're at and when you are there. Say it again. God cares about where you're at, and he cares about when you're there. And Jesus knew you were going to be here tonight before you got here. And he knew what time you was going to show up. Nathan didn't know he's going to get stuck behind a wreck, but God did. He knew that through my whole idea of what he was going to do for the singing service off. I had this plan, and God said, "That's your plan, that ain't my plan." And God has a place for you to be, and he has a time for you to be in that place. And Peter is here in verse 14 preaching where God wanted him to preach, when God wanted him to preach. And preachers, it's important that we don't just understand that God has a call on our life, but he also has a place for us to fulfill that call, and he has a perfect time for you to be in that place. It's not always easy to sit and not get to preach all the time. Every time you walk in a building, you want to preach. But God has a place for you to preach and a time in which he wants you to do that. So we'll pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. I want to read through, and I want to look at what powerful preaching does and some things about powerful preaching tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words.'" He said, "Hey, listen." Verse 15, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon" how much? "All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids. Now notice he didn't say on my wonderful people who have no problems. He said on my servants. And we are just servants of the Lord. Peter understood the humbleness of where he needed to be. And it's not as important for us to understand the time and the place where we're supposed to be, but it's also important for us to understand the position that we're put in. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Even back then, he's preaching, Jesus is coming again. And I'm preaching tonight, Jesus, he's coming again. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, not a select few, not a handful, but whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for that verse. That ought to be underlined in your Bible if you believe in that. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I believe that we would consider Peter today to be quite the bold preacher, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Well, look at that. I'm glad that when I go, don't you tell anybody I suffered, I died, I'm going to be alive. I just entered in. I ain't lived yet. I can't live till I die. I'm going to be alive better. There ain't going to be no pain to it. He's loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. He said, now I've read you some scripture, I've quoted you some scripture that David was the penman of. He's not the author, he was the penman. He said, but I want to remind you that David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He said, just like he promised David way back then it was going to happen then, I'm promising you right now it's still going to happen the way that God said it was going to happen. He's seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. That sounds familiar, don't it? That same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, this will be for next week, but look at verse 37, then we'll go back and deal with a few things. Now, when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their heart. He didn't walk down and say, raise your hand if you think you believe in a God. No, he preached. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. He preached, and they were pricked in their heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And tonight when we hear the way this preaching is laid out, and any other time you hear preaching, it should follow down this same line. When you get done with what God has brought to you, you should say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you've given this to me. What do you want me to do? I didn't know you was going to be here tonight. God knew. You didn't know what was going to be preached tonight. God did. What should I do? Dear Lord, I pray you help us tonight that we'd preach in a way to be pleasing to you. I love you. I thank you. And I need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. A few things about this. It was not a very long sermon. We know that different back on the text, we saw that Paul, he was long preaching. He preached all night long, and then someone fell out a window, died, and they come rose him back, and he went back to teaching. He preached for a long period of time, but here there's only about 530 words spoke. It says a little later on in the text that there was a few other things he said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort. But they doesn't specify any more than about 530 words that he's preached here. But there's a few things going on with his sermon. And the first thing I see that needs to happen, if you do anything for God, preachers, if y'all are preaching, if you don't start here, the rest of it ain't going to work. But the first thing with powerful preaching, it's got to be led by the Spirit. You don't choose what you want to do. You don't make up your own mind. You don't preach your own opinion. I'm glad I wasn't called to preach my opinion. I was called to preach the Word. That's what we told you to say. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He told us, he said, preach the Word, and the Spirit will lead you where you need to go. We find later on that Paul's going through things, and he says, I have a desire to come to you, but I don't feel led of the Spirit to come to you yet. He understood that God called him there on that road to Damascus, and God was going to lead him everywhere that he went. And every single thing that you do for God, God saved you, and God is going to lead you where he wants you to go. Beginning of this text over here, he's led by the Spirit. We see in verse number 4, chapter 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter was amongst this group that was in there praying. We in chapter 1, verse 14, they were all in there praying and they were seeking God. But there was a few things that was important for him to get to a point where the Spirit could lead him. First, I see that he was in the right place. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. What does Jesus say to him? And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. For Peter to be able to preach and to be led by the Spirit, he had to be in the place that God told him to be so that he could be indwelt by the Spirit. After Jesus ascends into heaven, they say, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus that's left is going to come back in like passion. And in verse 12 in chapter 1, it says, then returned they unto Jerusalem. They were going where he told them to be. I see also he was led by Spirit because he had a priority. He understood what he was supposed to preach. Look at verse 22 in chapter 2. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. I don't care where you turn in your Bible. I don't care what somebody's going through. I don't care what issue you're trying to bring them to. There is one solution for your problem, and it's the man named Jesus who was of Nazareth. He understood there was a priority in his preaching, that they needed something, and he knew the one place they could go get what they needed. He said, one day I was down there fishing, and I was working on my nets, and this man Jesus, he came to me, and he called me, and I followed him. And he said, I've cut someone's ear off before. He forgave me. He's had to tell me to get thee behind me, Satan, but he forgave me. I denied him three times before the cock crowed like he told me I would, but he forgave me. And this Jesus found me in a state where I was a hothead. I couldn't control my mouth. I couldn't do what I was told to do. And look right here, the one that couldn't control his own mouth, God is using him to preach to see 3,000 souls saved. And by the end of Acts chapter 5, we know of around 8,500 souls that had been added to the church. And Peter was the one, the main preacher for every single bit of that, because he understood the priority that he was being led of the Spirit to be in the right place and to preach about Jesus. And then lastly, he had a purpose in his preaching. Look at verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He walked up and he said, I'm preaching to you, and I'm in the place God told me to be. The Spirit led me here. Then the Spirit led me, I'm preaching about Jesus. I'm preaching of having that mind of Christ in me, as Philippians talks about. He says, lastly, he says, we got to do something about this sin. Y'all know God don't like sin. You know, he hates it. He hates wicked hands. He don't like your sin. He don't want you to sin. He don't want you to sin no more. It ain't his will for you to sin. Don't ever blame your sin on God. And he understood that the purpose of his preaching was to let people know you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And tonight, if it's never hit you before, you hear me and hear me well. I don't care if you're 5. I don't care if you're 95. You're a sinner and you're in need of a Savior. And if you've never had Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never met the Savior who can actually get you to heaven. There is no other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was led of the Spirit to be in the right place, to preach the right priority, to preach about Jesus, and let them know, hey, that Jesus guy, he can help you. He can be the Savior of your sinful nature. He understood to be led by the Spirit in his preaching. He had to preach what the Spirit wanted to preach, not what he wanted to preach. If you want powerful preaching, you got to be led by the Spirit. Next, you got to be learned in the Word. What does the Bible tell us to do? Study to show thyself approved. Hey, I got good news. That don't just apply to preachers. So what do you mean? I hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He says the purpose of being learned in the Word is not just for powerful preaching, but it is for Spirit-led living. And if you want to be the Christian, if you want to be Christ-like like we're supposed to do, you need to be learned in the Word. And if you ever hear somebody get up and preach, my wife showed me one time. It's been a long time ago. We're sitting there. She was showing me this guy, and he was doing this thing up on stage. He called himself a preacher, and he was doing this stuff, and it was really good pep talk. It really was, and it was great what he was doing, but he got done about 10 minutes in, and he was done. And she said, what do you think? I was like, I got a question. What was missing? Something was missing in his preaching. There wasn't a Bible up there. And not only was it not a Bible, he never quoted it. He never talked about it. Now, I have a hard time understanding how I can preach the Word and not mention the Word. It's not possible for someone to preach. You know what preach means? Proclaim the truth. That's what you can do. In my opinion, I don't care what y'all think, it ain't truth. Your opinion, it ain't truth. You know what happens most of the time when two people in the church are disagreeing? You know who's usually right? God. They're usually both wrong. Because opinions don't matter. And he understood that if he wanted to be led by the Spirit, if you want to have powerful preaching, he's going to have to be learned in the Word. And if you want to be the dad, hey, dad, if you want to be the dad you're supposed to be, you need to be learned in the Word. Hey, mom, if you want to be the mom you're supposed to be, you need to be learned in the Word. If you're teaching a Sunday school class here, you need to be learned in the Word. If you're teaching a Bible study, you better be learned in the Word. And he understood that I can preach all I want and I can be a motivational speaker, but I don't want to be a motivational speaker. I want to be a preacher. Look here in verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I won't read them again, but verses 17 through 21 is literally quoted from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. He stood up and he took the Old Testament, by the way, and preached what thus saith the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 27, it's from Psalms 16. And then in verses 2, Acts 2, verse 34, it's from Psalm 110:1. He takes his Bible and he says what David said when he was pinning down Psalms that God gave him. And he said, well, what Joel was pinning down that God gave him, I'm going to tell you about it, because guess what? Faith cometh by, and hearing by. It ain't the word of Peter. It ain't the word of Aaron. It ain't going to get you saved. It ain't going to help your faith grow. He said, I understand that if I want powerful preaching, if I want to be a Christian, if I want God working through my life, I've got to be learned in the Word. How much time have you spent in the Word this week? How much desire is there in your heart to spend time in the Word? Let's deal with that for 1 second. How much desire do you have to read the Bible? Do you have to force yourself to read your Bible? Do you know why that is? Because you're not led by the Spirit. You think the Spirit don't want to read His own Word? Does that make much sense? He's the teacher. I learned something real quick when I got in college. You don't walk into a math class and tell the professor you hate math. That's not a good look. Y'all ain't been to college yet? Don't do that. They have devoted their life and career to math. They're the teacher of it. They enjoy it. They want it. You know what the Holy Ghost is? He's a teacher. And He takes this Word and He teaches you about it. And do you know that it grieves His heart if you don't want to spend time in it? There's something against that. And you must be led by the Spirit. And if you're led by the Spirit, I will guarantee you will have a desire to get in this Word. Because you know where He's going to lead you? Right here. And Peter understood, I want power in my preaching. I've got to be led by the Spirit. I've got to be learned in the Word. Next, he doesn't know who he was preaching to. You know who you should be preaching to? Lost sinners. Boy, if you're lost in here tonight, I know how you can be found. He's here. My Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And Peter understood, boy, there's been some times I thought I was going to die. Remember when he's walking on that water? There was a storm going on. Y'all remember that, right? Walking on that water. He takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts saying, what does he say? Save me. He thought he wasn't going to make it. But he understood, he knew the one that could save him when he was in that moment. He was down there minding his own business, working on them nets, getting ready to go fishing. Here comes Jesus just walking by. Follow me. And he did. Wouldn't you say that Peter would probably tell you that was the best decision he ever made in his life? He said, man, everybody kept telling me about this Messiah. But then he came to me because Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And anytime you're doing something for God, you know what our number one priority here at Fellowship Baptist Church? Souls. Everything that we do is to reach more souls. It ain't to make me look good because that's impossible. Amen goes right there. It ain't to exalt somebody. That's not our purpose. The Bible says no flesh will glory in His presence. The purpose of what we do is to reach more lost souls so they can know about Jesus. And Peter came down. Look what he said to him in verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Not only is he saying you're a sinner, but he's saying, do you know that you killed God's only begotten Son? That got deep real quick, didn't it? You killed God's only, ain't that what it calls him? Only begotten Son. Y'all know why Jesus had to hang on that cross? My sin. You know why he had to hang on that cross? Your sin. Guess what? Your sins or why he hung on that cross. You played a part in why Jesus had to die. You're a sinner. You know that? There's some people don't like it when you tell them they're a sinner. They amen you while you're talking about sin until you start talking about their sin. You know what sin will send you to hell? All of it. You know what sin Jesus died for? All of it. He understood that he had to be led by the Spirit. He understood he had to be learned the Word. But he also understood that he was preaching to lost sinners. And then lastly, he was preaching with a love for Christ. And if you want to do anything, you know what the Bible says? You can have all the faith in the world. And you can have all the ability. But without charity, you know what the Bible says you are? Nothing. That's what it says. Go look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, without charity, you know what you are? Nothing. And if you get up and try to do something for God and you don't love Him, you know what you are? Nothing. He said, preachers, if we preach and we don't have love, charity in our preaching, you know what it says we are? A sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You know what that means? Over there in their markets, they don't have them big flashy signs. They shout at you as you come by, and they're all hollering in the markets. I learned this to listen to David Gibbs preach one time. I didn't know about this. They holler at you, trying to get you to come by from them, and all this, and it's just going on. It's loud. It's a racket. It's annoying. You know what they call that? A sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, you know what you are if you preach and you don't have charity? An annoying noise. If you don't preach, if you don't live your Christian life with a love for Christ, you're nothing. You're no good. You say, how do you feel? Where do you see that Peter has a love for him at? Go to John with me. Chapter 21, verse 15. Y'all remember here in this text, Jesus has already ascended from the grave. He's sitting out there getting a little bit of fish coming on. He tells you to come and dine. They're sitting there with him. And he has a conversation with Peter. When you find a place, say amen. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, what does he say? Feed my lambs. He wasn't talking about a fish. What else he says? He saith to him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, feed my sheep. He ain't talking about barbecue. He saith to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He said, you know what you're going to do? Hear me tonight. He says, if you love me, you know what you're going to do? What I tell you to do. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. That's in your Bible. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I'm telling you to do. Listen to a message earlier today of old Doc Kenny. And he was talking about when the sheep came down and Peter saw what he could eat and all this stuff. And he said, no, Lord. Not so, Lord. Those three words was in the same sentence coming out of his mouth. And you think, he would say that. You know, we do that to God all the time. He tells you to do something, you say, not so, Lord. He tells you something, you say, I can't do that. God said, I never told you you was going to do it. I just told you to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And 3,000 souls got saved. You know how many souls Peter saved that day? He said, I need you in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and I'll take care of the rest of it. He said, do you love me? Do what I'm telling you to do. And he came to Peter again with that sheet, and he said, hey, eat. Not so, Lord. You know what he said? No, I don't do that. And when God comes to you and he says, do this, you say, I love you, but I can't. How about you make sure tonight that when you tell God you love him, there's not a but on the end of that sentence. I love you, but I just can't do that. I love you, but I just can't give this up. I love you, but I just can't. I love you, but I can't preach to all of them. You know, I cannot stay in Jerusalem. They're going to kill me if I stay here. They just killed you. Don't y'all know they weren't safe where they were? They just killed Jesus. What do you think they're going to do to them? Feed my sheep. That's what you got killed for. We watched John the Baptist get beheaded for that. And you want me to call out sin? Come on, Lord. Think about Moses. He comes to me and says, you want me to go back to Egypt where Pharaoh is? When I left, he was trying to kill me. He said, that's what I'm telling you to do. Imagine if Moses say, I'm good. I can't do that, God. What is it God's telling you to do tonight that you're saying, I can't do that. Nah, that's just not for me. I love you, but I just can't do that. Peter didn't have I love you, but for God. He said, God, I love you a whole lot, and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. In verse 32, in chapter 2, look what he has to say about him. This Jesus. He said, I want you to understand that this Jesus y'all been dealing with, it's the one that I love. This Jesus is the one that can save you. This Jesus, and I'm telling you tonight, this Jesus is the one that can fix the problem you're going through. I don't know what the problem is you're going through, but he sure does. And he can help you even when I can't help you. I know I was talking to Mom then, and I made this comment. I told her, I said, a lot of times as people, we get caught up wanting to have the right thing to say and want to try to help somebody in some way. And we wind up saying something and it's just stupid. It don't help. It don't work. For me to tell a mother who's trying to raise a baby, I know how you feel. I've never been a mom. I don't know what it's like. Somebody come to me and tell me about losing their parent. Let me say, I lost my papaw. It ain't the same. I don't know how you feel. This Jesus, he knows how you feel. He's able to be. He's touched by the feeling of your infirmities. He knows what you're going through. And he said, I just need you to come to me. Verse 33, look at this. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. I'm going to flip to Philippians real quick. I want you to see this. You know who exalts Jesus? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. It's not up to me to exalt him. God's going to allow me to. But you know why I should exalt him? Because God did that. It wasn't up to me. God's the one who said he's exalted. And Peter's understanding. He says, the one that I love, the one who loved me with a love, I watched him give his life. You know, Peter watched him 3.5 years. He knew he didn't sin. He walked right there with him. And he gave his life for him, knowing Peter was just a worthless old sinner. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Is he your Lord tonight? When he tells you to feed my sheep, do you say, yes, sir? When he tells you to do something, do you say, I don't do that? No, I can't. Not me. You're wrong. Would you be honest tonight and say there's been times in your life you said, no, God, you're wrong. Yeah, I've been there. He ain't been wrong yet. And God's telling you something that don't make sense. It's not what you want to do. God knows a whole lot more about your needs than you do. And just because you go through things that don't make sense, but when you get to the backside, God did that, and he's still in control. I'll finish up tonight. If you want powerful preaching, if you want to live a powerful life in Christ, if you want to do anything for God that's worth something, you've got to be led by the Spirit. You must be learned in the Word. You must understand that it's to and for lost sinners. And lastly, you're going to have to do it with a love with Christ like you've never had before in your life. You're going to have to get it deep down and understand that you are the cause, you are the reason, but he is the solution. He said, I know what you are, but I love you anyways. I know what you're going to do, but I love you anyways. And neither sword nor peril nor anything that could ever happen according to Romans chapter 8 will ever separate you from the love that I have for you. And Peter's sitting here saying, I got a love for Christ because I love him because he first loved me. You stand to your feet tonight. I'm done. These altars are open. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have the power of God on my life. When I preach, when I'm a dad, when I go to work, when I'm a husband, when I wake up, when I go to sleep, when I'm breathing in and when I'm breathing out. I want to do it with the power of God in my life. Are you led by the Spirit? Are you learned in the Word? Are you concerned with lost souls? And do you live a life that shows you have a love for Christ? Dear Lord, we come before you tonight thanking you, God, for an opportunity just to meet in your house. God, I pray, would you take this word and use it for your glory? God, I want to be used by you. And everything I do, I want to be led by you. I love you. I thank you for all you've done for me. I pray, God, that you help me to spend more time in this word. God, would you give me more time to spend in it? Would you make me what you want me to be? God, would you take this church and make it what you want it to be? God, I pray for every heart in the building tonight that we'd have a desire to have the power of God on our lives, the power of God on our calling that you called us for. I need you. I love you. God, would you save a sinner tonight? God, if there be anyone lost in this building tonight, would you save them? Would you help them get over that battle tonight? Would you give them the courage to be saved for the glory of God tonight? I love you, and I believe that you will. Every head bowed and eyes closed. I ain't done this in a while, but I just want to talk to you personally tonight. If you've never been saved, listen to me. You know you can be. You don't need a man. You don't need what you need to do is you need to call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says right there in Acts 2, call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you've never been saved before, if you don't know right now that you're on your way to heaven, I'm asking you, and I'm not going to come beg you and come find you. But if God